You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Ravens Weekly, brought to you by myself, Matt Hall, and by my co-host, Josh Tindall. Josh, how are we today?
Very well, Matt.
Great to be back here again, and great to see that people are somehow enjoying listening to Ravens Weekly and listening to us talk about nonsense for, well, we've been going on for 45 minutes, haven't we, in some of these?
Yeah, true. We're doing Ravens Weekly, the extended versions this season.
It's like Ravens Weekly's come back, but with a bang.
It's to make up for the lost time.
That's it. We're making up for it, and we're doing it from the off. But seriously, thank you to everyone who's tuned in to the past few podcasts, and obviously for your fantastic, wonderful feedback and comments. We really do appreciate it, and we do read them. And any negative comments, we definitely don't read. So anyway, Josh, let's get started with the trip away to Eastleigh.
Yeah, it was great to see a sold-out supporters coach heading to Eastleigh, and the fans that backed us on the day were brilliant. I know we posted a video on social media of the fans singing, and that was even before kickoff. So, when the game got underway, they were fully behind us.
That was brilliant to see, wasn't it? 57 on the coach, of all ages, I've got to say as well, like you mentioned there, Josh. Lots of noise before, during and after the game, and a really good level of support. 185, I think it was, on the day, which is pretty good going. Obviously, then, moving on to the game, it was probably a frustrating afternoon is the best way to describe it, but there were chances to win that game in the first half, weren't there? Hitting the post twice, although some heroic defending from Kellen Fisher just a bit later on.
Oh, it was brilliant defending from Kellen. And like you mentioned there, we hit the post. I remember the ball was swinging and Michael Cheek was at the back post, I think shortly before half time, and his header just cannoned off the outside of it. And that was the closest we came, I think, to a goal in that first half. But Kellen Fisher's block was the standout moment of probably the game, to be fair.
I think you're right there, Josh. And obviously the game kind of changed a little bit in the second half, in that Eastleigh had to bring one of their defenders off and substitute very early on in that second half. And then the sending off, Corey Panter receiving a straight red card for a challenge on Michael Cheek. And they kind of went a bit defensive, didn't they? However, they did threaten Bromley on the break. And towards the end, Reece Charles-Cook pulled out a phenomenal save on the post. Again.
That's what he does though, Matt. He's just man for the big occasions and just pops up with the vital saves.
I was just going to say that there's been so many games that have gone by that have been quiet and that Reece hasn't had much to do, and then out of nowhere he just pulls off a worldy save.
Yeah, I mean, he did it again on Tuesday night, but obviously we'll come on to that. But yeah, not the first time this season, and definitely won't be the last. And I think he appreciated your commentary on the night as well, Matt.
Well, yeah, I got to mention in his Instagram story, which was quite nice. And he said the commentary was 10 out of 10. No one's ever told me that before.
That's a compliment.
That is a massive compliment. And to be fair, I went back to him and said, well, you keep giving me 10 out of 10 saves, so that's making it easier. But no, seriously, Reece is a great guy off the field as well, and he's really embraced community appearances and just generally being a good kind of character to have around the place. Yep. So really, really good. And obviously, it was a 0-0 draw in the end. And Andy Woodman, I think, you know, he talks later on about appreciating, you know, how valuable that point might be, but also his frustration at not being able to win the game, and especially with Eastleigh having 10 men in the second half. But anyway, we move on and to the Bromley women, who had a good result at the weekend, didn't they?
They did. Hastings United at home. Obviously, we have memories of
memories,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2-2 against a team at the top of the league, and it extends their unbeaten run to 4 games now. So they're on a roll.
To see, isn't it? I think both times Bromley scored, Hastings scored straight after. So frustrating in that sense, but really good for Bromley
and
to get a point.
Goalkeeper Sophie, I think, made a few good saves as well. So
I was going to say, she even got praise on the Hastings United Twitter, which is, you know, you're doing well if you're getting praise from the opposition. So fantastic stuff from the Bromley women. And obviously, plenty of people taking up the offer of the free ticket as well. So that was really, really good to see. And the players really appreciate that support, don't they?
Yeah, and we've obviously got another home game coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So ticket details will be available on the club website, on social media. So yeah, make sure you take advantage and be a part of another, hopefully another historic season.
Absolutely. Right, let's move on to Torquay United then, Josh. And it was a very long journey down to Devon for us. I was joined by David Meliwish, which was brilliant. It's great having Dave on the commentary. And he seems to be a bit of a good luck charm at the minute.
Yeah.
He's made two appearances on Bromley FC Live on the commentary. And we won two games. They've both been cold Tuesday nights, very far away from home. And we've come away with 2-1 victories on both nights. And people seem to really enjoy having Dave on the commentary, offering a different perspective. And do you know what? He even's picked up Dan Bentley's habit of telling me that the goal's gone in as I'm commentating on it. So, big thank you to Dave for letting me know the ball hit the back of the net. Quite honestly, I don't know what I'd have done without that shout. You know, I thought that I wasn't sure if the ball went in or not. But anyway, no, in all seriousness, it's great to have Dave on the commentary. And I know he's really enjoying it as well, which makes it all that much better. And here is the pick of the action from that trip to Plainmoor, brought to you by myself and David Meliwish.
And all the Torquay players are back to defend this one as it's readied by Ryan Sturck on the far side, who raises his right arm, preparing this corner delivery, which is left-footed and in-swinger in towards the six-yard box. Show me the header! Finds the bottom corner.
It's a goal. Yes, it is a goal.
And it's Omar Show Me who finds the back of the net with a brilliant corner delivery from Sturck.
Yeah, I couldn't see it. It's a bit dark in that bit, so I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I clapped. I've been told off for clapping.
Well, it's all right. We'll let you off this one. But I tell you why, Dave. The goal nets are blue and yellow, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's quite hard to see them.
Yeah, difficult, isn't it?
But it's Omar Shomi with the opening goal. And it was a great corner, wasn't it?
It was. It was an excellent. And that's what we've been looking for, the service. Make sure we keep hold of this and keep nice and tight and certainly for the next 10 minutes.
That's Omar Shomi's eighth goal of the season. Yeah. Torquay United pulling it level just a couple of minutes ago. Adam Marriott will take this penalty for Bromley up against Mark Halstead. It looks like from the run-up it might be a right-footed effort. Here is Marriott against Halstead. Marriott with the run-up,
yes!
And he finds the bottom corner for his ninth
goal
of the season. Yep. And Adam Marriott's work rate tonight has been rewarded with the goal that he deserves. Excellent penalty.
Oh, without doubt. He's worked his socks off tonight. He's with to be fair, with little reward. And tonight he's got, and now he's got his reward. Good penalty. Keeper went the right way, but it was far too hard. Went straight past him.
Brilliant night down in Devon, and to the 31 fans who made the trip down, whether it was on the coach or via other means, I know a couple stayed down there for a little bit longer. Take my hat off to you, and you know, I hope you enjoyed the performance. And I know Andy and the players really appreciated it. It was great to see them come over and show their appreciation at the end of the game, as well as before when they went to do their warm up, which was really lovely. And of course, thank you to all of the people as well who came down to Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen to watch the game. I'm sure they enjoyed it equally, and it was a really good performance from Bromley on the night. I thought it was one of those classic away wins, and a really important 3 points. So big thank you to everyone, whether they listened in, whether they came to Broomfield and watched, or whether they made the trip down.
And the players returned back from that long trip, and we thought we'd catch up with one of the heroes of the night. So here's our interview with Adam Marriott. We'll start right at the beginning. What got you into football?
Probably watching my dad play, actually. Just for the local team, Brandon Town. And from there, I joined the youth team there, probably seven, eight years old. And then I got scouted for Norwich City. It's just progressed ever since from there, really. And yeah, just loved it, really, from a young boy growing up. And yeah, that's all I've done since, so it's been good.
And after Norwich, you joined Cambridge and made your senior debut. How was that?
Yeah, obviously brilliant. Obviously nerve-wracking at the time, but I felt good. And I think going from Norwich to Cambridge was obviously a bit of a transition. Obviously Norwich was, I think, either Premier League or Championship at the time, and then it's a bit of a drop down, bit of a knock, but you know, that I've sort of knuckled down from there and got my career back on track. And yeah, obviously thankful for Cambridge for giving me the opportunity to do that. And yeah, I've done all right for myself, yeah.
And you're renowned for being a bit of a goal machine, and that sort of started at Cambridge City, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I had probably a season bit in and out of the team at Cambridge United. And then I thought to myself, I'll take the step back, drop down again and get some games and just play every week and score some goals. And that's what I did. And yeah, I think I got 40-odd goals that season and got a move back to Stevenage in the league. So yeah, it worked out well for me.
How was that step up to League Two?
Yeah, it was big. I think I was still quite young at the time, so I think I would have been 22, 23. So I probably wasn't fully grown yet. I played a few times over the two seasons, got a bad injury, so that sort of sent me back a little bit. But I enjoyed it. It was a brilliant club. The facilities there were amazing. And a really good club, and I enjoyed my time there.
And then after that, dropped back down to non-league. You played for Lincoln City one season there. How was it?
Yeah, unbelievable, to be fair. It was like probably the best season of my life. Everything sort of clicked. The Cowleys got in touch with me when I got released from Stevenage. I went in there, moved up there, lived up there. And yeah, the just off the pitch is brilliant. You know, it's a lovely place. And on the pitch it clicked. I didn't play every game, but I loved it there. And I think obviously we got to the quarters of the FA Cup, beating some really good teams along the way, and got out of this league. So that was my first promotion, so that was an amazing time.
How did it feel to win the National League?
Yeah, it was I think it was between us and Forest Green the whole way. And we were sort of, I think they overtook us around Christmas time, but I think we got them just towards the end of the season. We beat them at their place in the 90th minute, and that just set us up really. So, we had a really good team that year, to be fair. And we managed to get a bit of momentum when we needed it. And I think we saw it out pretty well in the end and quite comfortable. But yeah, it was great celebrations afterwards. And obviously, I always remember that season.
And then after Lincoln, you made the move to Royston Town. It was a bit of an awkward move for you, but how did that come about?
Yeah, I was in between. I think Lincoln did actually offer me a contract, and looking back now, I probably should have took it. But I hadn't played that much, and I was getting a little bit frustrated again. And I've always been like it. I just want to play football and score goals. And although it was probably the best season of my life, really, I didn't play enough. So I came back home and just, tried to get my career back on track, playing for Royston. And I did quite well, to be fair. Scored 30-odd goals, I think, that season. Just enjoyed my football again. And that was it, yeah.
And then I think one of the highlights of your career was probably at King's Lynn. You helped them to back-to-back promotions. How was that?
Yeah, amazing. I felt like I was kind of the main man there. So, we got, I think we were in the Southern Prem at the time. I went there, I think Christmas time, and managed to get the boys in the playoffs. And we won it's called a Super Playoff Final. So we had to go to Warrington, which is quite a way. And, you know, it was a tough game, but we managed to do that. And then, obviously, the next season was... I think we won it on points per game, because that was like the COVID season, so when that first started. There were some really big teams in that league, to be fair. I think we were favourites to get relegated at the start of the season, so credit to the boys for that. And I scored 28 goals in that 28-29 games before we had to stop for COVID. So great times, great bunch of lads, still speak to a few of them now. Really good club.
And then I think most Kings Lynn fans would have been a bit annoyed at the fact that you made the move shortly after they got promoted, and that was Eastleigh. I'm sure a few Football League teams were sort of keeping an eye on you as well. So it was a bit of a weird one that you made the move to Eastleigh.
Yeah, I think what happened was it was sort of out of my hands, really. I think the chairman put me on furlough, so it was literally who would take me to the end of the season. So I didn't really, I didn't go on my own accord. It was the chairman really there. I think it was one of the highest paid players there, and he just wanted to get rid of a few of us. And yeah, Eastleigh obviously came in for me. Went on loan there. I think we missed out by about a point in the playoff. So yeah, no, it was a good time. A couple of months there. Played most games, and I enjoyed it as well.
And then you returned to being a goal machine again, and that was at Barnet.
Yeah, last season at Barnet, it was a mixed season. Obviously, we didn't do great, but personally, I did quite well. So I think I was one short of 20 goals. I think we played Bromley on the last day, and I couldn't get a sniff. Big Omar and Webby just kept me out of the game. So I was gutted. I couldn't get the 20 goals, but yeah, personally, I've done really well and managed to get a move here. So yeah, I was pleased.
And what were your first impressions of Bromley when you were shown around?
Yeah, just what a facility, like, yeah, just brilliant here. I think when I looked around, saw the gaffer, saw Danny. As you drive in, you see obviously the boys won the FA Trophy on the big screen. And yeah, just look round, and I thought, you know, I need to give it one more real last go. I just couldn't turn it down. I just thought, let's really give it a go. Yeah, I've loved it, really. The boys are brilliant. Everyone makes you feel welcome, you know. So yeah, I could be pleased. I think we're going in the right direction on the pitch as well. And hopefully a strong end to the season, and see where we get.
We'll talk more about Bromley in a minute, but I just wanted to rewind back to your youth career. You mentioned Brandon Town, and I think I've seen quite a lot on Twitter. They follow your career really closely, and they're actually really proud that you're a product of theirs, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad's a bit of a legend down the Brandon Football Club, so he played for him, and now he's on the board there. And growing up there, that's where I grew up. So they're obviously, you know, they're close with me as well, like my family. They're always down there, and they took an interest in my career, and you know, I think one day I'll probably end up back there playing. I don't know, hopefully a few more years yet at this level, but I'm sure I'll finish my career playing for them.
And you talk about watching your dad play as a youngster. What position did your dad play?
He was a bit like me, really, sort of like a number 10, but could just play anywhere, really. Technical, and didn't have the legs really to get around the pitch. That's why he didn't really make it to a decent enough level, but technically he's really good, and I really enjoyed watching him growing up.
And also, when you were growing up, were there any other players that in the professional game that you kind of modelled yourself on or aspired to play like?
Yeah, so I support Newcastle literally basically because of Alan Shearer. It was just, I don't know why, wasn't the best to watch really, but he just scored goals, and that's literally all I've tried to base my game on, goal scoring. He was my hero, and I don't know how many goals he got in the end in the Premier League, like 260 odd. So still support Newcastle today because of him.
I was just going to say that actually, you find that some players, some professional players, and we've interviewed them in the past, they're involved in football so much that they don't really watch it outside of their own playing. Is that something you do? Do you follow Newcastle? Do you watch many of the matches?
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, I watch any football. Literally, I don't care where it is, like foreign football, non-league football. I'll go and watch games. I think that's important, really. I think I know there is players out there that just want to get home and just do nothing and forget football, which I understand. But I think it's good to keep seeing different things. There's always different things happening in football, and I love it. I can't get enough of the game, really.
You've talked quite in depth about your career with Josh there, and it seems like on quite a few occasions you've gone from being part-time to full-time. How was that for you as a transition, kind of going back and forth, and then obviously now in the past few years you've been full time?
Yeah, obviously they're complete completely different. Obviously, when you've got part-time, it's a little bit tougher because obviously the wages are not as good, so you're going to have to work. And I've done that a few times, and it's not easy. But, you know, I think I've always been that person that just wants to play football. And if I wasn't given the opportunity, I felt like I needed to step back, step down it and go again. And I think finally now I've sort of found my feet. And this club, Bromley, is giving me an opportunity to really kick on. And, you know, I've played a lot this season, and hopefully I'll end the season strong here.
Talking about your career previously as well, you just seem to have scored goals in every single club you've been at every single level. Yeah. And obviously we talk about the back-to-back promotions, and when you've been thrown into a new division, you just seem to have adapted really quickly and just got the knack of scoring goals at that level really quick.
Yeah, when I was growing up, actually, I was a midfielder. It wasn't the biggest, so they put me in midfield, but I'd always find a way of scoring a goal. So I think coaches, as I grew up, sort of just saw that and started to put me up front. And I just love scoring goals, so you know, that suited me. And yeah, obviously got a few goals this season. I'd like to have got more, but there's still a lot of games left, and hopefully I can really kick on and see if I can get to the 14-15 mark, which would be a half decent season for me.
Talking about life off the field a little bit, fans like to get to know the person behind the player as well. You're a family man. Your family and your daughter have come to watch the games before as well, which has been really nice. What sort of things does Adam Marriott get up to outside of football?
Like you say, I just love spending time with the family. It's obviously difficult because the missus and the little one are back in Cambridge, so I'm staying down here a few times a week and then getting back. But obviously when I get home, I love spending time with the little girl and the missus, and more the little girl. But
do you think she'll be listening to this?
I like seeing friends and just playing golf. I like a lot of golf, and just chilling out, really. I think as the older you get, you sort of calm down with doing too much away from football, just because you need to be relaxed, and come match day you need to put it in. So you know what I mean. I don't go out too much. I'm not one of them. I just knuckle down and family man.
And you've come in here. You've scored a lot of goals. You settled into the football really, really well. How about in terms of settling into the group of players we've got here? It seems a really close knit group.
Yeah, no, we are. We're all different ages, but we all get on with everyone. And I think, obviously, you've got the captain, and he's a bit more senior, and you know that he gets everyone together. We'll do social things together. We'll all chip in. And I think that's important, because on the pitch you need to mate with you. Seen recently, we've all already stuck together. The manager instills that in us, and I think it's going well, and you know, I think we're in and amongst it, going towards the end of the season, and that's which really what we wanted from the off.
And talking more of the squad, who's your roommate for the away matches? Who's roomie?
At the minute, the skipper, Byron. So I've been with everyone, to be fair. I don't get a say in it, but no, I like to. We took a dartboard the other night, and we'll be doing anything, darts, playing games together, and yeah, nice. It's good fun with the boys when we go away.
One thing that I've really respected about you since you've come in here a lot as a player is you're really embracing the community side of the club and visits to see our participants and things like that. That seems to be something that you've enjoyed when you've taken part in it, meeting the children and the participants.
Yeah, I think that's important. Trying to see the children and put smiles on their faces, I think that's important. And you know, when they come to us, I see a few of them on match days and that, and they recognise you, and I think that's good. You know, spreading the word, and I think Bromley do a lot of good for the community. It's one of the better clubs that I've seen doing things, and I think that is important. I think that bond between, you know, you've got the fans, you've got the kids at the schools, if we're all on the same page, you know, it's only going to be positive. And yeah, going forward, I'll obviously keep doing all the community stuff, definitely.
Well, it's brilliant to see. Moving on back to football, Tuesday night, you came back into the starting lineup. A brilliant performance, I have to say, and capped off with the penalty right near the end. And it was nerves of steel, really well tucked away. How do you reflect on that game?
Yeah, obviously, it's a bit of pressure on us going into it. We felt we maybe could have won the game before easily when they went down to 10 men. But looking back on it, it was probably a good point in the end because they're obviously up there as well. But we needed to win the other night, and thankfully we did. It was a tough game because they're obviously fighting for their lives, and no game is easy in this league. So I really enjoyed it just to be back on the pitch. I didn't think I had 90 minutes in me, I'll be honest, but Cheeky went off early, so I had a look on the bench, there's no strikers there, so I knew I was in for the long shift. But I just worked hard and then got a bit of luck at the end, obviously getting a penalty. And yeah, just I had faith in myself that I'd stick it away. So hopefully a few more penalties for the end of the season.
Just going to say, that was only our second penalty this season. The other one was scored by Michael Cheek away to Dagenham and Redbridge in August. And talking of the penalty, you talk about a stroke of luck, but actually as well, it was being there and James Vennings and Corey Whiteley to capitalise on the error from the goalkeeper right after Torquay had just scored. And that was a bit of a sucker punch, that equaliser, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They scored from like a free kick, and they were getting a little bit of momentum obviously when they score so late on in the game. So we done well there. Yeah, it was I think Fenno won it back straight from the keeper, and you know, did a little bit of magic, played a 1-2 with me and got the foul. So that was important because obviously they had their towels up, and I think if it would have gone another three or four minutes, it might have been a different story. So we got the goal straight back, and I think we saw it out quite well in the end. But it was a big 3 points.
And there was a little bit of a delay, wasn't there, actually, after the penalty was awarded. It was clear that you were going to take it from the start. Yeah. But that, how does that play on your mind, obviously, that space, that dead time in between the penalty being awarded, and obviously there was an injury to a player which kind of held it up a little bit?
Yeah, that was a long time, that. I ain't going to lie. It felt forever. I think, like you said, there was an injury. And there's a few of them trying to dig up the penalty spot and all sorts. So, just tried to take myself off, really, and just have a moment to myself and compose myself. And, yeah, lucky enough, I stuck it away. But, it did feel forever.
It got us an important 3 points, didn't it? And that's now only 2 defeats in 16. The confidence in the squad must be really high going into what is now a crucial few weeks.
Yeah, obviously, there's going to be some big games coming up, starting with Notts County on Saturday. But, you know, you've got to beat the best, do you know what I mean, to get in the playoffs. And, that's nothing changes, really. We're a team that just knuckles down, gets on with it. It doesn't matter who we're playing, we'll prepare the same. So, it's going to be a tough game, obviously, Saturday. They're a really good team. But we'll go in full of confidence and, we'll go at them straight away and bring them on.
And just finally, ahead of those final few games that are coming up, what's your message to the fans?
Yeah, just obviously thank you for travelling the other night, the fans that did. That was a hell of a journey. Fair play, and yeah, we obviously need you going into the last few games, really drive us on. And you know, they've been brilliant so far this season, but we need a big push at final. I think it's 13-14 games. If we could get as many there as possible, that'd be massive for us, and make it a great atmosphere. I'm sure it will be Saturday, and going onwards, really drive us on and see what we can do.
Well, Adam, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
And of course, it's always a pleasure to sit down here and catch up with these players. It's such a relaxed environment for them to chat to us in, and they all just kind of drop their guard, which is really, really nice. And like I say, it's always a pleasure. And it was a pleasure with Adam. He is a fantastic player. He's been brilliant for us. And what a great guy as well, Josh.
He's a great guy. And I know he's done a couple of community stuff. We mentioned Cookie earlier, but Maz is another one. He's come in. He's just taken to the club really well. He's one of those players that comes in and he just gets it. I know, like, when you get to know the players, behind their ability on the pitch. You sort of pick out the ones that sort of, they sort of understand what the club's about, and Adam is definitely one of those, and so is Cookie, and the majority of the squad, to be fair.
Absolutely, yeah. This club has got a track record of having tight-knit groups of players in the past few years, and this is no exception. It's great to be in and around it on a daily basis. Right, just to quickly, it's back-to-back at Hayes Lane in the next few days. Notts County, the visitors, on Saturday the 4th of March. You can get your tickets for that one over at bromleyfc.co.uk. And then York City come on down to Hayes Lane on Tuesday the 7th of March, and that's a 7:45 kickoff. We're going to have plenty planned on that day for our celebration of International Women's Day. And on that front, there are a lot more activities planned to celebrate that day and make a week of it. So do keep an eye out on the Community Trust socials at Bromley FC Trust. We hope you'll join us for those games. But we're going to move on to some arrivals and some squad news now, Josh, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Onto some squad news now then, Josh. There's been a little bit of movement in and out, starting with the out. Two players heading out on loan. Tunji Abembe has joined Burgess Hill Town for the rest of the season, so good luck to him. And Finlay Lovett, who really seems to be enjoying his stay at Corinthian Casuals, will remain there for the rest of the season now. And of course, we wish them both the very best of luck. And we keep tabs on how they're doing, don't we? And it's great to see our young players from the under-23s, from the academy, going out and getting men's football.
It is. I mean, I know you came to a couple of under-23 games last season, and I think one that stood out was when we played Corinthian and we were 2-0 down at half-time and won 9-2. And
oh, Finlay Lovett with four goals that day.
He was unbelievable.
Fantastic. And,
it was a brilliant night and a brilliant season. I know they narrowly missed out on the title, and they're going for it again tonight. So, they just keep producing, I think. Kellen's a great example of that. So is Ben Crowhouse. But I mean, if you're not getting first team football here, the alternative, go out on loan, and it's better experience than staying in the under-23s.
Absolutely. And let's move on to the players coming in then. And in today, announced at 5 o'clock, was Deji Eleroe. Great to sit down with him and catch up. He's a 6'3" central defender who arrives on loan from Charlton Athletic for the rest of the season. Josh and I had the pleasure of catching up with him earlier, and here's what he had to say. Deji Eleroe, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How does it feel to be here?
It feels great to be here, honestly. Just being a good club at Bromley, without all the fans and the boys. Just coming in today has been a very good experience for me.
When you came in this morning, you said you come here as a kid, and it's changed a little bit now, hasn't it? You were having a little look around earlier. What do you think?
Yeah, it's way bigger now. It's way more. It's new. It's a lot of things are very, very nice. Gym's unbelievable. So just happy, really happy to be here.
And how's your first day of training gone for you? Obviously, this move's happened quite quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been good to be around the boys, me and the staff and the gaffer as well. Just telling me his plan for me and everything. So it's all been a good experience.
Looking forward to working under Andy Woodman. I know he's very, very delighted to get you in.
Yeah, no, he's a very good, very nice guy. So we'll be glad to work under him.
Let's talk a little bit about you then, Deji, and your footballing journey. How did you first get involved in kicking a football, really, as a youngster?
So my brother was playing for a team in my area called Selton Juniors. So around that time, I was playing with my friends just in the park. And then I watched my brother play for a couple weeks, and then I decided to join the team. And when I joined the team, my dad was the manager of it under 8, and then I got scouted by Palace under 7, under 8 pre-academy. Then I joined Palace under 9s, got scouted. After that, I was there for 4 years, then got released from Palace under 12s, and then after that I went to Charlton under 13s through a team called Connect Academy round in Croydon, who really helped me get my confidence up and improve my game. Also from Charlton, got a scholar at 16, like normally, and then from 17s pushed into the first team in my when I was under 17, and then went on loan under 18s, and here I am.
And you're 6'3", aren't you? Which is a great height for a centre back. Have you always been a defender in your younger days?
Yeah, I went from defence to midfield for a bit, and then I went back to defence because I found it easier.
And you've also You made your debut, your professional debut at Charlton. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you've also had a loan spell in the National League already with Wealdstone. How has that been for you?
I feel like Wealdstone was a perfect club to go to at the start of my loan spell, because they're very inviting people, very, very nice staff, and the way they play was very good as well.
And we don't like to talk about it too much, but the first game of the season you actually played as Willstone beat Bromley 3-2, but now you're looking to come in and win Bromley some points, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm here to get promoted and win the league, or get promoted and go through playoffs.
And looking forward to meeting all the fans, Deji. It's a big game to come into, or to come in on the Friday before the visit of Notts County, high-flying in the National League.
Yeah, it'd be a very good game because Notts County, they're a very good side. Played against them with Willstone, but also play against with Willstone. They're a very good side, and also it'd be very nice to meet all the fans and all the players and meet everyone around the building.
And we've got a few weeks left of the season now. It's what they call the business end of the season. Lots of important games coming up. What's your aims for the remainder of this season?
My aim is to help Bromley get promoted up to the division because I really want to be playing. I want Bromley to play in League Two because I know how the history of the club. It's a big team. It should be in the higher leagues. So I thought I'm trying to get them to that place.
And what's your thoughts as someone who's played in the National League on the standard at this level? Because it seems to keep improving year on year. The league seems to keep getting more competitive.
No, I feel like National League is underrated. I feel like it's a very good league and people take it for granted. But once you're in it, you see that the level is very high and a lot of the players could be playing higher up.
And of course, there's a lot of games coming up. Saturday, Tuesday, some long away trips as well in there. Is that something you relish as a player, the long run of games coming up?
Yeah, I just love playing football. I love going to different stadiums, playing different fans, winning games. So it's just a very, very good opportunity.
Just rewinding back to your Charlton days a little bit, how did it feel to make your professional debut?
It was surreal because it's one of the moments you dream as a kid, but you don't really think it could happen. And when it happens, it's unbelievable.
And what would you say are the main differences from playing the 23s football to making that step up to a League One first team and actually as well playing professionally in the National League?
I feel like the physicality and the pace of the game is way quicker in the first team football than 21s. But I still feel like 21s can give you some technical ability as well. Where you play good football at Charlton especially, it helps us to build good players there.
And of course, a number of players have come from Charlton over the years over to Hayes Lane. Do you know any of the boys here already? I saw you saying hi to a few of them earlier.
Yeah, I knew Ben Crowell from Charlton, Sam Long from just around, and also a couple other boys just from playing football with them as well.
So it's been fairly easy for you to settle into that group today?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's brilliant to have you on, Deji, and it's great to have you here at Bromley Football Club, and we wish you the very best of luck, and we can't wait to see you in action.
Thank you very much.
And it was great to catch up with Deji, a new signing, and seems really, really happy and excited to be here, which is exactly what you want in a new player.
Especially coming from a team like Charlton. I mean, we had it with Charles Claydon as well and Van Owen and stuff. They come here, they look around and they're very excited to be here.
We're delighted to be joined by manager Andy Woodman on the podcast now. Andy, welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is becoming the thing to do on a Friday afternoon now, isn't it, coming here?
It's the highlight of my week. I actually look forward to this more than anything. So I generally mean that. I do.
Oh, thanks.
I'll say that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's anything to do with us, really, to be honest.
It's completely to do with you and how professionally you've got this set up. And it's quite a nice not to have the bog standard interview, just have a chat. It's really, I really like it.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks, Andy. Well, that's a good way to start. Let's talk about last week then. Obviously, two games to look over. The first of those was a trip away to Eastleigh on Saturday, aside in and around us in the table. How do you reflect on that one?
I thought we played well first half. I thought first half we was just getting the better of them. And half time come at a bad time, if that makes sense. We was really getting into a rhythm. And we went there, look, let's not make no secret about it. It was a game we couldn't afford to lose. And equally, they didn't want to lose it because it was their classic six-pointer. Second half, we started okay, shuffle, and then they had the man sent off. And then we're in that world of pain, which is tough. You know, when a man gets sent off, I think people think it's a walk in the park. Then it's not. Everyone sits behind the ball and you're kind of half nervous in case they do you on the counter with 10 men. And equally looking for an opening. And we struggled for a little 10 minutes and then we looked all right, but we just couldn't get that goal. But I come away from there. I mean, look, I think I read someone put a comment of if we'd have took a point before the game, it was a good point away to an Eastleigh team that are going well. And we haven't lost any ground on them. So that was a good point in my mind before the game. Obviously, circumstances, you're a little bit disappointed.
Obviously, we hit the post twice, hitting the post in the first half. And Kellen Fisher and Reece Charles-Cook with some Kellen with a brilliant double last-ditch block. And Reece Charles-Cook, as a goalkeeper, obviously you'll appreciate the, how good that save was.
Yeah, I maybe take Reece for granted a little bit because he makes these saves and sometimes I sort of just expect them. And then I have to remind myself, look, it's a really good save. Reece has been great for us. And Kellen made a really good block. I mean, I don't know how he made that block. And that just that really is Kellen. He does a lot of things. We don't know how he does it. So that was a big moment. But the team have given us everything. And I say it, and I don't say it lightly, I'm super proud of these bunch of boys. They're really giving it everything, every game. And I know we don't always get the goals or the results sometimes, but the margins are so fine. We hit the post twice, and just that little moment we need just to fall for us. But that's where we are, and we're going to keep going. Yeah, I'm excited about this little period now.
The National League's a physical league. That game was a physical game. And in the back of your mind, you're particularly towards the end of the second half, you've got to bear in mind, obviously, another long journey to Torquay on the Tuesday. And I guess that always is in the back of your mind with the size of the squad that you have at this level.
Yeah, look, I think I try not to think about the next game because I've got to try and win the one we're playing in. But you can't help it. You're kind of thinking, if I lose so-and-so today, I hope he's okay. They see someone going for a tackle. You see someone look over at me on the bench and they're not quite, they're feeling a groin or a hamstring. So I have to react on that a little bit and make sure that I'm trying to give them the best chance for the next match. So that is always in there. And like you say, I mean, you've done the trip. It's a long way, Torquay. Everyone thinks it's, you know, just down the M3 a little bit, but it's a long way. We went down there and I thought that was a tricky game. I know one or two people said to me, well, they're in the bottom three, but they beat Barnet 3-1. Southend narrowly got a result right at the last kicking of the match. And like any team down there, they're fighting for their lives, you know, and they're not going to just roll over and say, come down, take the points. And we did all right, you know, again, we did really well. I thought we had some good moments in the game. We controlled the game at periods. They had a few moments. I won't gloss over that. But what pleased me again about the group of players is we had a couple of our players go off with niggles, big players for us, and the depth of the squad's not huge, but the boys have come on, made a difference, and that's what a squad's about. The subs have got to make a difference if we're going to be successful, and I thought they did that, and we got the 3 points. So when you look back at the two away games, 4 points from two away games is I think it's a very good return.
You brought James Vennings and Adam Marriott back into the starting lineup for that game, and I think it's fair to say that both of them rewarded your faith in them.
Yes, I've tried to rotate at times the squad. The players that are being rotated don't always agree with it. But when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday, at any level, you can't expect Saturday, Tuesday to the boys to be at their peak. They're just not going to be. So you have to pick and choose ones that are going to go back in. James Vennings is a super player. Let's be honest, he's one of our favourite players. We all love James. I wanted to see him with Ryan Sterk as well. So he came in and he'd done a stellar job. And the big sort of conversations I've had with James is we know he's a fantastic player. I wanted him to get in and around the box more. And I want him to, you know, put some goals together for us, or certainly some more assists in around the box. And he's took it on board, and I'm really chuffed. And look, I'm not just saying he got the penalty. He might not have been in that position 6 weeks ago. So I've really pushed him to sort of, come on, you're a top player, get in the box, add goals to your game, and you're going to be an even better player. So that was good. And Adam Marriott, he's been waiting in the wings, and he was fantastic. He was even better, I felt, when Cheeky went off. I mean, he done a stellar job up there on his own, holding the ball up, drawing fouls, and he was excellent. So I was chuffed for him. He was blowing at the end, mind you, but... yeah, he was good. And look, let's not mention Harry Foster. Harry's been out of the team just of late, and he came in, and again, he done a really good job. So, and that's what we need in the squad, the subs to make a difference, or the ones on the fringe when they come in, or they feel like they're on the fringe when they come in, they sort of, you know, put their marker down to be in the team.
What was really nice about that fixture is before the game, during the game, after the game, the players showed so much appreciation to the 31 supporters who made the trip. And you talk about the journey. It's a heck of a journey for them as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, amazing. I can't underplay this, really. I could normally say it was great, thanks. It's amazing what these people do. I mean, one supporter, 5,000 supporters, whatever, to give their whole day up and night and early mornings to come and watch us, it's not glossed over by us boys, particularly myself. I made a point of going on the coach after to see them all. They're great people, aren't they? Let's be honest, they're great people. They support us. They give me a pat on the back when it's not so good. One or two tell me what I should do differently, which I don't mind. You know, they say it in a lovely way. But they're brilliant. And for those people to go back with a win and see them smiling, knowing that they've got a long journey ahead of themselves like we have, but they've got the win, it really made it a worthwhile... of course, it was a worthwhile result, but more for them. And I think the players really showed that they appreciated these people coming down to watch us.
There was great support at Eastleigh as well. And looking back at the home games, I know you've really enjoyed that support, haven't you? And you've actually... you've got a name.
I want to call them the Woody Warriors. They're brilliant. I love them. They're a little group that's singing behind the goal. And we can call them the Woody Away Day Warriors. I thought that as well. I love them. They're brilliant. I think it's brilliant. This club's got a fan base now that looks like they enjoy coming, singing. I was just speaking to young Will there, who's an up-and-coming reporter. But we were talking about that. You know, it's what it's about, isn't it? And these guys have really made a difference. I love them. I always want to go over and clap them because I want to almost jump in with them sometimes. but they're brilliant. And yeah, the Woody Warriors, keep going. We love it.
Moving back onto on-pitch matters, and you've brought in Deji Elorewe today, who is a player that you know and obviously has played against us for Wealdstone earlier this season, and it seems like you're really pleased to get him through the door.
Yeah, Deji done really well against us for Wealdstone. He got called back by Charlton. I think I might be right in saying to be involved or in around the squad, particularly for the Papa John's tournament. So Deji was one I've had my eye on for a little while, and I asked the question a little while ago, and they said he can't go out at the moment because we need him around the squad, which of course I respected. And that shows you how highly they like him. And then I just spoke to some people I knew at Charlton, Steve Avery being one of them, a guy I worked with when I was at Charlton. And thankfully, Steve's helped us get Deji across the line. We need him in the building. We've got a lot of games coming up. And yeah, he's a good... powerful, strong, up-and-coming centre-half, and I'm excited to have him in the building. He'll be a good addition to us. So, yeah, really chuffed with Deji.
It's another difficult game tomorrow. Notts County at home, obviously.
They're not bad, are they?
I've heard that they're quite good. I mean, top of the league, so...
Rumour has it, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it was a long trip back, as you mentioned. How have the past couple of days been?
That's brilliant. We've got this ethos here where... we kind of take the excuses out of the way. And that's a big thing here. Let's move all the excuses out of the way. You know, let's move all of these out of the way. Are we tired? No. Even though we are, we're not. Are we feeling a bit leggy? No. Let's move all those excuses out of the way. We're in a privileged position to be footballers, or they are, and myself as a manager of this club. So we've got this thing here. So literally, the lads were back in Thursday. And there was no moaning, I don't hear anyone say they were sore or a little bit tired. They might have said it behind my back, but we've kind of got this, running through this club that I want to move all the excuses out of the way. And that's from top to bottom. So we moved that excuse out of the way straight away. And yeah, the lad's been brilliant. Looking forward to the game ahead.
And I don't think you've lost to Notts County yet since you've been manager. I may have got that wrong, but I
didn't know that.
I don't think you've lost.
Well, listen, that continues, eh? Yeah. It's going to be tough, you know. But this is what I think you've got to embrace this as a fan, as a manager, and as a football player. You want to play against the top players. Everyone keeps telling me. Everyone keeps telling me I want to be a league player. And everyone keeps telling me I want to be a championship player. And I want to be a premiership player. Well, you've got to go through the hard yards. I want to be a premiership manager. I've got to go through the hard yards. I've got to try and beat the best team in this league, or one of the best teams. We've obviously one of the smallest squads, but it's fine. Yeah, we'll take it on board, and I think we'll do what we do best. I think we kind of really embraced this underdog card, and I think it suits us. So you know, we'll do that. We'll give a good account of ourselves, I hope. I'm pretty sure. And it will come down to, you know, some moments either way. But we'll go out there not phased, and we'll do what we do best, and we've covered every sort of stone. No stone's been unturned, and hopefully we can give these fans something to go away cheering again. But look, let's not kid ourselves. They're a really, really good team. I mean, I think their top goal scorer's got 33 goals, so they're not bad. And we will give them the respect, you know, but it's 11 versus 11. Let's see if we can go out there and keep that nice run going, and hopefully Woody's Warriors will be happy.
And we got back-to-back home games now. What would you say to the supporters who are maybe debating whether to go to the games?
Oh, it should be no debate, surely. Notts County at home, you'll go home. It's absolutely no debate. Get yourself down here. I mean, look, we're in a good position. We're 3 points off the playoffs. We're in a situation that was better than when I first come to the club. I think we was 5 points off the playoffs when I first come, and we got in the playoffs. So, come on, we've got to get in there. We've got to try. That's our sort of marker. We've got to try and get in there. We'll give it our best shot. And I've said all along, you know, it could go right down to the last game of the season, but we've got to make sure that we are in amongst it. And we'll be doing that. And if we're going to be in amongst it, we're going to have to play well against the Wrexhams and the Notts Counties and the Chesterfields and all of those clubs that are way bigger than us. And we've got to come away with something. So, yeah, get yourself down here. It could help make it a great atmosphere like it normally is at Hayes Lane.
And just finally, you said post-match on Tuesday you didn't want it to be another entertaining game against Notts County, because that was, in fairness, one of the best draws I've ever seen earlier on in the season. It could have been 5-5 that night.
Yeah, I prefer not to have those. Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be tough. I mean, the game up there, I thought we could have won it. We could have even lost it as well, by the way. But we played well up there. Look, they're going to be on the back of a one bad result. So they're going to be either a little bit nervous, if we can make them a little bit nervous, or they're going to come out all guns blazing and they're going to have a reaction from their squad. I'm hoping it's the nervous one that we get, but we're prepared, you know, and we're going to pay them the respect, but we're going to go out there and hopefully do ourselves justice and take care of our business. I say it to the boys all the time, you know, look, we're not playing Liverpool or Chelsea or Man United here. We're playing a team in our league that's one of the better teams. Let's just make sure we can compete.
Andy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow.
It wasn't only Andy Woodman who was joining us around the table today, Josh. We had Will Drummond, who is on a placement here from UCFB.
Yeah, Will's part of our media team, and he came in to gain a bit of experience this afternoon, and here's what he had to say. So me and Matt have just spoken there about how you're a UCFB student. You help us out on a match day. Tell us a bit about your background.
So, yeah, so since I was younger, my dad would bring me to Bromley games. Love the club, love football in general. This sort of originated obviously through my university that we'll touch on later. But it's great to be sort of back where it begun, really, with Bromley.
So UCFB have a partnership with the National League, and some of you listening who have watched our National League TV streams will have seen a couple of adverts to do with UCFB, and I know we post a couple on our social media channels throughout the year as part of the partnership. And that's how you've gotten into working at Bromley, Will. But for those who don't know, what is UCFB?
So it's the University Campus of Football Business. They've got sort of campuses all over the world. The two in the UK are the Wembley Stadium one, and you've got the Etihad Stadium one in Manchester. And it's basically just a university that focuses on sport and in particular football degrees. You know, it ranges from business to law to media to sort of physical education and psychology. Anything you can sort of imagine with sport, really, UCFB's got it. Obviously, a massive thing that they push is that they've sort of got these partnerships with the National League and other associations, and they can give you great work experience.
And yeah, you just touched on there, as part of your course, you are given the chance to go out to different businesses. It doesn't have to be football clubs, but different businesses to get that placement in, and, you know, you can sort of base your coursework off where you are. And you decided to come here, but what is your role at Bromley?
So yes, obviously it came about where I sort of went to my employability and career planning team and said, look, I live in Bromley, I like the club, I love the club, can you contact them so I can get a placement? And that's how obviously I got in touch with you, Josh, gave you an email, came along, had a tour of the sort of facilities. I felt like I was a new signing for the club. It was great. And yes, sort of went from there really on a match day. My role sort of varies here and there. On the whole, it's sort of to do the live in-match and pre-match Twitter updates. But I've also done stuff sort of, like commentary. And even today, like Josh said, as a part of my assignment, I had to do an interview, and I was lucky enough to get Andy Woodman, obviously the manager, down for 5 minutes and have a good chat with him.
And how much are you enjoying being here?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's being around football on a match day. There's no better feeling, really. And obviously, the fact that I can sort of really get to grips with it in a club that I'm so sort of passionate about is sort of a double whammy, really. You know, everyone's great. There's other UCFB students. It's not just me. Josh, Matt, everyone's been really supportive. So, yeah, I've got no complaints. And I hope it carries on going as well as it has been.
And it's nice to see that you're a supporter and you've sort of progressed to sort of working for the club in some sort of capacity. Going back to when you were a supporter, what memories do you have of following Bromley?
Goodness me, lots. I mean, especially when I was really young and my dad would take me. I mean, I remember Hayes Lane when you had sort of the car park stand, but on the other side there was literally just these wooden benches that you'd sit on. But back when in those days we were a little bit further down the non-league pyramid, and you could sort of stand just behind the goal, and I remember shouting at goalkeepers, telling them this, that and the other, which was always good fun. But obviously you look back to sort of when we won the league, the National League South in 2014, I believe. I'm going to say 2014, I might be wrong. And of course the FA Trophy final, both days out at Wembley, but especially the one more recently, because we won the trophy and it was just a day out that I'll never forget, and I'm sure most Bromley fans never will.
And going back to your studying, how long have you been at UCFB and how much are you enjoying it?
Yeah, no, it's great. I've been there for about 6 months now. I'm in my first year after I finished school. I took a year out. The course is great. I mean, I get to go to Wembley Stadium every day. I mean, for someone who loves football, you can't really ask to be around much more. You know, you think of lectures as something quite boring in a room, but I get to look out and see Wembley Stadium and the pitch. So it's unbelievable, really. But yeah, no, it's great. It's quite, I mean, my course is football, business and media, so it's quite a broad range of things that I pick up and skills that I learn. And you can just sort of invest all of your time into something that you're passionate about, really.
Yeah, I also went to UCFB, so I know where you're coming from with the experience that you've gone through as well, Will. And when I was there, I also picked Bromley as my placement and really enjoyed it. And that's how I got the job here full time. So are you looking to go down sort of a similar route, or what are your overall career aspirations?
I think as a kid, all of our dreams are to go and be a professional footballer. But I think that this is sort of just as good in that my overall ambition is just to be working in football every single day. You know, I want to experience big stadiums, big moments, and everything to do with the game, you know. And I think that this placement is certainly given me that sort of experience, sort of reaffirmed that this is what I want to do, because I'm not even just a match day, it's like coming in today and filming a podcast, for example. It's just great.
We always feature the community provisions of the club here on the podcast, and we've mentioned them at various points throughout this episode as well. And now is the time to dedicate a little bit of airspace for that feature. And I was delighted to be joined by Graham Orr on the podcast today to talk about a very exciting initiative that we're going to be launching with him in the next couple of months. Graham, welcome to the podcast, first of all. It's great to have you here. And you were introduced to the club as a former colleague of Chairman Robin Stanton-Gleaves. Do you want to tell us a bit about how you know the chairman?
Yes, that's right, Matt. Thank you. Yes, I've known Robin since leaving the forces and my first job in Civvy Street in 1990. So I've known Robin, you know, since then. Worked with Robin over the years and obviously been a friend of him. And delighted to see what he's been doing at Bromley.
I know, Graham, that the chairman showed you around the facilities here a few weeks ago, and I think you were pretty blown away, weren't you?
Oh, unbelievably so, yes. And quite rightly, Robin's very proud of what he's achieved over the years. And he took me around, and at the very least, you'd say it's championship standard, what you've done here. Yes, I'm a Crystal Palace supporter, but looking at what we've got here, I would say it's even better facilities, which is probably not what I should be saying.
Well, I think you're going to come to the game tomorrow against Notts County, aren't you?
Yes, most certainly. And obviously, you could probably hear from my accent, I've got quite a few teams. I've got Glasgow Rangers, Crystal Palace, and obviously with my connection with Robin, then every Tuesday and every Saturday, I'm looking out keenly at the Bromley results.
That's brilliant. It's brilliant to see. So let's move on then, Graham, to the initiative that we're going to be launching in a couple of months' time. It's something that is quite unique, I feel, having looked to what other clubs offer. Do you want to talk us through what it is?
Yes, most certainly. So I reached out to Robin, I think it was around November time, just to sort of ask him if it would be interesting, in line with what you're doing in the community, to do something around veterans. So I left the Forces in 1986, as I said, and one of the biggest things that all veterans miss is that camaraderie. No matter how long you do in the Forces, you're sort of wrapped in this bubble where everything's sort of like done for you. You're around mates through thick and thin, and when you take that leap of faith and come into Civvy Street, then it takes a lot of veterans, years and years to adapt. I can say personally, I was a Falklands veteran. I did my time I went to the Falklands when I was in my early 20s. And I've certainly had my struggles over the years. But I've got a good support system around me. But there's many, many veterans that are not as fortunate as me. And I think looking at what you do in the community with the Ravens, That sort of reached that struck out to me, and I think I asked Robin if there's something we could potentially do around veterans similar to what you do in the Ravens. I was pleased to see Robin was delighted to look at that, and obviously in speaking to yourself and met yourself, in November, we have a sort of shared vision of having a kickoff, lovely phrase, kickoff at Bromley Football Club, but a kickoff meeting initially. And what we're thinking of is perhaps once a month breakfast meeting initially, getting some veterans around, reaching out in the community. Because as I said to Robin, in South London and in Kent, there must be hundreds, if not thousands, of veterans out there. From all ages, I'm sort of 62 now, so obviously I come from a different generation. But there's younger veterans, perhaps from Afghanistan, Iraq, that are leaving. And just to, I can speak, personally, that when you get together with veterans, it's like you're back in the Forces, and it's just that camaraderie and that friendship that reaches out, no matter whether it's RAF, Army or Navy. And I go to a couple of reunions every year with some of my old Navy veterans, and it's fantastic, and people, especially people living on their own, to have something that they still look forward to and sort of meet up with some ex-colleague or ex-veterans, I think it'll be phenomenal.
And you came down to Ravens Chat, as you said, and that's a model that's been fantastic in supporting the breakdown of loneliness and isolation in Bromley. And actually, you met John, who yes. is a Bromley supporter, and many people listening to the podcast will know, and he's actually a veteran himself, so we've already recruited someone.
We've got our first number 001 on the books, and of course John was ex-army, but within 5 minutes we clicked, and Matt asked me to spend 5 minutes with John, so 45 minutes later
I was gonna say
but it was fantastic. And as I say, what really sort of pushed me to speak to Robin initially was seeing the great work that he's doing in the community, and I think we can sort of model this on the Ravens.
And things are picking up now. Contacts are being made. Conversations are being had, aren't they? Yes. And the ball is starting to roll a little bit.
Yes, we're getting involved with a lot of Forces charities, and there's quite a number out there. And of course, they're very supportive in what we're trying to do. There's people at the DWP that are sort of keen to be involved, because some people might have welfare issues, you know, out there that we can certainly help in. It's wide-reaching in some of the things that we can get involved. Yes, initially bringing guys together, ladies and gents together for a bit of breakfast, but then, you know, who knows, whether it's job fairs, days out, activities, not to mention football, five-a-sides, there's all sorts, but just getting them as a community together again.
So obviously we'll bring people more information once all of our dates are confirmed, and we'd be delighted to have you back on the podcast, Graham, if you would, once everything is put into place. But for now, for veterans that are maybe in the Bromley fan base, what would you say to them?
Yeah, watch this space. We were getting together like some communications, Facebook groups. We'll get some social media, purely related to what we're doing here. So I think we've actually got a name already, so it's going to be around the lines of Bromley FC Veterans Drop-In Centre. So that just hopefully tells you what we're trying to achieve here. Let's see, we'll get the message out. If you know of anyone, any ex-veterans, sailors, you know, soldiers, airmen, let's get out there, let's get together, and let's see what we can achieve. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you to Graham for his time on the podcast. Really, really good to catch up with him. And watch this space is the message there for sure. Really excited to launch this initiative and what support it could bring for our community. The under-23s are in action tonight, aren't they, Josh?
They are. They've got Woking at home, 7:45 kickoff. And it's a big game in their title challenge. I think if they win that, they close the gap on Aldershot at the top. And it's an exciting one.
Absolutely. £5 a ticket for that one. So do come on down and join them and watch them if you can. That's tonight, Friday, the 3rd of March. A couple of quick notices before we finish for this episode. Maystone United match away at the Gallagher Stadium has been rearranged for Tuesday, the 28th of March, and that's a 7:45 kickoff. So please note, it is no longer on Saturday, the 11th of March. A reminder to everybody who hasn't seen it already, Broomfield's F1 event. The F1 is, of course, on over the weekend. And if you're an F1 fan, come on down to Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen and watch the coverage. The kitchen's open from 9 o'clock and there are free samosas on the bar and an opportunity to have a photo in a beautiful Ferrari, I have to say. Brilliant stuff. And Josh, a final call for tickets for tomorrow's match.
Yeah, ticket prices rise at midnight, so make sure you get yours now. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Should be a really good game and hopefully a positive result for Bromley. But Josh, thank you so much for joining me once again today. We're coming to the end of another episode of Ravens Weekly. And thank you to all of you once again for your continued support and for listening to us each week. We really do appreciate your feedback. But we'll be back again next week for another instalment of Ravens Weekly. But for now, take care and have a good weekend.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.